From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. On today's show, we've got new updates from the Nebraska legislature where we have reached the halfway point in this year's session. We'll talk about what you can expect from the unicameral the rest of the 2019 legislative session, plus a huge development at the federal level on the life issue, what the Trump administration is doing to protect taxpayer dollars from subsidizing abortion. And we'll also talk about why a city council has banned a Chick-fil-A restaurant from opening. But first, if you're a regular listener to KOTK, The Answer, you know that KOTK is changing format and The Answer will no longer be broadcast. And Capitol Connection airs every week on The Answer in Omaha. And then also, of course, it's a podcast online. And so what that means for our Capitol Connection program is that we are going on a temporary hiatus. We will no longer be broadcast on KOTK as the station is changing format and no longer carrying talk radio. But we are already in some really exciting discussions on next steps and new platforms for the Capitol Connection. So we will keep you updated on that, but know that the program will be going on a brief pause as we prepare next steps for the program. But we will be back. This is just a short temporary break. And so we will keep you updated on next steps. And once again, in the near future, you'll be hearing the Capitol Connection program broadcast live weekly on a new station, possibly multiple stations across the state, as well as posted on iTunes as a podcast. So there's some exciting things happening, but we will no longer be on KOTK in Omaha moving forward. And so we want to make sure that people are aware of that, and we'll keep you updated, and we're excited to see what lies ahead for the Capitol Connection program, and we're grateful for the years that we've been able to broadcast this program and connect listeners to what's happening at our state capitol on KOTK. The Nebraska legislature has reached day 50 of this year's 90-day session, and my goodness, this past week in the legislature, things came to a grinding halt. Things sort of went off the rails as senators started airing grievances with one another and expressing feelings, and things started to get very personal. And so this has been a departure from the relatively smooth and peaceful session we've had, at least on the floor, when the full legislature is together up to this point. And this past week also marked the end of all committee hearings. So when the legislature reconvenes on Tuesday this week, they will begin full day debate. No more committee hearings. They will be in the chamber debating bills all day. And this is when things really start to heat up, and the major issues, property tax relief, tax overhauls, education funding, the state budget, really some of the more major debates will start taking place. So things are going to get really interesting this session. And if this past week was any indication of how the next 40 working days will go, we are in for a long few months here down at the state capitol. And Nebraska Family Alliance, we provided testimony in front of our legislative committees on 28 different bills this session in order to advance family, freedom, and life. Unfortunately, there's a long list of really bad bills this year that would threaten and undermine religious freedom, that would expand abortion and access to abortifacients. But thankfully, none of those many bills that we oppose will advance in this year's session because none of them have been designated as a priority bill. Each senator gets one priority designation, and with very limited time, essentially the rest of this session will only be spent on priority bills. And on the flip side of that, there are a number of really good bills that Nebraska Family Alliance has supported that have been prioritized, meaning they will have the opportunity to be scheduled for debate and voted on by the entire legislature, and that is good news. So here is what you can expect the rest of this year's session. First of all, there is a major pro-life bill that we've talked about a lot on this show, LB 209, the Abortion Pill Reversal Information Act, that was introduced by State Senator Joni Albright, and she has also made it her priority bill. And this legislation is all about offering hope for women who are seeking an abortion and life for unborn babies. This is about a second chance at choice and ensuring that if a woman is going in and being prescribed the abortion pill, that she is also informed when given the abortion pill that if she changes her mind, the abortion pill can actually be reversed. But timing is of the essence, and that's why it's so important that that information be given immediately. And so that will be a really important debate on the abortion issue this session, and we'll see where senators stand on this issue. A lot of times, people campaign as being pro-life. They make very vague statements on the campaign trail, but then they get down to the legislature, and when they actually have to vote on a pro-life policy, you know, that's when it's you really get to see who is truly pro-life and who isn't. And actually, on this bill, I think it will also reveal who says that they're, you know, pro-choice, who are really maybe more pro-abortion, because this bill is about choice. It's about making sure that people are informed of all of their options and a choice that they have. So that is LB 209. You can read all about it at our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. This year will also provide an important opportunity for the legislature to debate school choice. Nebraska is one of the last states in the entire country that doesn't have really any school choice options for families. And Senator Linehan of Elkhorn has introduced LB 670 to create a scholarship tax credit program to, very importantly, incentivize private dollars, not public dollars, private dollars to go to scholarship granting organizations to provide more scholarships for specifically low income families to be able to have the choice to send their child to the school that is right for them and be able to afford private education if that is what they desire for their family. So it doesn't take any money away from public schools. This is a really important opportunity to create more freedom and choice in education that is so vital for every family to have. Because education is not a one-size-fits-all policy. Different kids learn differently and will thrive in different learning environments. Freedom and choice in education is a good thing. It's a great thing. But undoubtedly, this bill, LB 670, will face some fierce opposition when it comes to the floor for debate later this session. Now, there are two other bills that are backed by Nebraska Family Alliance that we're very excited about, some important bills that should hopefully have a much easier time, we anticipate, getting voted into law. The first one, LB 252, introduced and prioritized by Senator Geist of Lincoln, would require the state of Nebraska to actually tell citizens the truth about the gambling they're promoting through state-sponsored gambling via the state lottery, which advertise all over the place. And I think people forget that those advertisements are actually coming from the state of Nebraska, actively encouraging citizens to make financially poor decisions that the state knows will result in the citizen losing money. And we think that the state should be doing things for people instead of to them, or at the very least, not preying on addiction. And what studies continue to show is that the poor are the primary players of the lottery, and those who can least afford it are the ones funding it. And so this is all about honesty and transparency in what is actually a government program by requiring the lottery to disclose very clearly what the odds are of winning the prize being advertised. So instead of putting all these advertisements in people's face, telling them that they're going to change their lives and strike it rich, it'll actually have to include, you know, that the odds are 1 in 100 million. And you know, hopefully people will be more educated and be more informed. And, you know, it's still their decision with what they want to do with their money, but at least they're not being coerced or misled by their own state government into making very poor financial decisions when that money would be better spent buying food for their family or clothes for their kids or saved for their family's future. And that bill was voted out of committee last week unanimously, 8-0. And we anticipate and at least hope that that will be the case when it comes to debate in the full legislature. And one more bill that we're advocating for is LB 519, introduced by the newest member of the legislature, Senator Julie Slama of Peru. And this one is on human trafficking. What this bill would do would extend the statute of limitations for human trafficking crimes as well as possessing child pornography. And statute of limitations, that's the time period for which a crime can be prosecuted. And currently, it's set at 3 years. 3 years for human trafficking. And if you make it past that window, if that crime occurred, if you were engaged in human trafficking, the buying and selling of another human being, if that happened more than 3 years ago, basically you are off the hook and can no longer be prosecuted for that crime. And so this bill extends that time period of the statute of limitations for 7 years if it's the trafficking of adult, and it completely eliminates any time period if it is trafficking of a child, which is really, really important, because this bill helps to ensure justice for victims and survivors of the most heinous crime. And this bill, LB 519, also empowers law enforcement and gives them more tools and resources in trafficking investigations by giving law enforcement the ability to request authorization from a court for the ability to use wiretaps in their criminal investigations of human trafficking. And that's something that law enforcement has at their disposal for other similar crimes and investigations. And that tool, being able to use wiretaps, proved very effective and useful recently in the national story of the month-long trafficking investigation in Florida that led to the bust and breakup of an international human trafficking ring down in Florida. And so this bill would really do a lot and go a long way in making the state of Nebraska a much less friendly place for human trafficking, and we'll be pushing for that bill the rest of this session. And lastly, we've talked about it a lot. You're going to hear a lot about it this year. Title 10 taxpayer funding of abortion providers. Last year, the state legislature, in a major pro-life victory, passed new language put in the budget by Governor Ricketts to ensure that Title 10 taxpayer dollars do not go to any organization who performs, assists with, or refers for abortion unless there is physical, legal, and importantly, financial separation between Title 10 services and abortion services. And regrettably, this year, when that came up in the budget again, our Appropriations Committee voted to take that pro-life provision out and reopen the doors for abortion providers to receive those Title 10 taxpayer funds. However, this debate, this issue is not over. In fact, a huge twist on this issue this past week, the Appropriations Committee Chairman John Stinner announced that he would be bringing an amendment to put that same exact language that they took out of the budget into a separate standalone bill that will be debated by the legislature. So there will still be an opportunity to put that pro-life language in state statute that would ensure taxpayer dollars do not fund abortion, but it would be in a separate bill. And also, they announced that it would have a 2-year sunset clause, meaning that language would only be in effect for 2 years and then it would go away. So this is getting to be a pretty complicated ongoing issue, but one way or another, there is going to be a major debate on that issue this year, and it is essential that the state legislature takes action and stands with pro-life Nebraskans to protect both taxpayer dollars and unborn human life. And in fact, there was a big development on this very issue at the federal level this week, when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that the Trump administration is tightening rules to prevent U.S. taxpayer dollars from paying for abortion services. The policy prohibits taxpayer funding to international groups that promote or provide abortions overseas. The president's decision applied to nearly $9 billion in U.S. taxpayer funds to foreign non-governmental organizations. This ensures that U.S. taxpayer funds continue to go to real health care, humanitarian relief, and even still to family planning. It only blocks funding to groups that perform or promote abortion in other nations. And think about that, that, you know, for so long, taxpayer dollars, the citizens of America have been taking the government, our own government, taking money out of the pockets of Americans and giving it to organizations to perform and promote abortions in other countries. And the Trump administration is putting a stop to that, and rightfully so. This is what pro-life leadership looks like. And Secretary of State Pompeo did a great job of talking about this issue and why it's so important. And basically, the message is very simple, but incredibly important. Pompeo said that we can continue to meet our critical global health goals, including providing health care for women, while refusing to subsidize the killing of unborn babies. And unsurprisingly, this decision from the Trump administration has been met with a lot of criticism from pro-abortion groups. But hear for yourself a clip of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announcing this decision at a press conference and taking questions from reporters on why the Trump administration has decided to implement this new policy.
As before, we'll continue to refuse to provide assistance to foreign NGOs who perform or actively promote abortion as a method of family planning. Now, as a result of my decision today, we're also making clear we will refuse to provide assistance to foreign NGOs that give financial support to other foreign groups in the global abortion industry. We will enforce a strict prohibition on backdoor funding schemes and end runs around our policy. American taxpayer dollars will not be used to underwrite abortions. This brings me to my second announcement. We are also fully enforcing federal law prohibiting the use of U.S. funds, including foreign assistance, to lobby for or against abortion, otherwise known as the Siljander Amendment. In light of recent evidence of abortion-related advocacy by an organ of the Organization of American States, I directed my team to include a provision in foreign assistance agreements with the OAS that explicitly prohibits the use of funds to lobby for or against abortion. The institutions of the OAS should be focused on addressing crises in Cuba, Nicaragua, and in Venezuela, not in advancing the pro-abortion cause. And to ensure that our message is heard loud and clear, we will reduce our contributions to the OAS. Our reduction equals the estimated U.S. share of possible OAS expenditures on these abortion-related activities. The American people should rest assured that this administration and this State Department and our USAID will do all we can to safeguard U.S. taxpayer dollars and protect and respect the sanctity of life for people all around the globe. I could take a couple questions.
Any questions on WTN? Yes. Aaron, go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Secretary, some people have called the Mexico City policy Trump's global gag rule. What is the problem with describing it as this, and do you take exception to that description?
Yeah, I mean, that's silly. This is a policy that is designed fundamentally to protect human beings. It's not the policy we're arguing about. We're talking about human lives. And our mission statement is very clear. We can achieve, as I talked about, all the global health objectives that are so important, so imperative, the great work that many of these foreign NGOs do without running the risk that it'll be used to perform abortions or advocate for abortions. This is important. It's deeply consistent with the most moral behavior of governments, and we're determined to make sure that we don't allow taxpayers' dollars to get to these places.
Well spoken by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And again, I think that's the message that we need to be getting out there, that here in Nebraska and in the United States, we can reach our health care goals without subsidizing abortion. In Congress, U.S. House Republicans announced last week their plan to bypass Speaker Nancy Pelosi in order to force a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which failed in the U.S. Senate. That was introduced by our own Senator Ben Sasse. But this bill has not been voted on in the U.S. House. And House leadership under Nancy Pelosi have rejected Republicans' calls to vote on that bill more than 20 times. In response to this, House Republicans announced a plan to give Democrats until April 2nd to allow a vote on the bill. And if a vote is not allowed, House Republicans will move forward with a very rare motion called a discharge petition. This is a petition that any member of Congress can sign in order to force legislation out of committee and to the House floor for a vote when the party controlling Congress refuses to do so. And so this is a discharge petition to pull this bill out of committee and force a vote on the floor. And in order for that to happen, the discharge petition has to be signed by a simple majority of members of Congress. And so that means if every Republican signs this discharge petition, which is the expectation, Republicans would need 21 Democrats to cross the aisle and sign this discharge petition to force a vote on the bill, which basically is condemning infanticide and ensuring that children who survive an abortion and are born are given proper care and not left alone to die after surviving an abortion. So this Tuesday is a huge day for life in the U.S. House of Representatives. Members in Congress will have to decide whether they will continue to stand with Speaker Pelosi, who is blocking the bill, or stand with babies to demand a vote. This is something that needs to happen, and at the very least, if House leadership under Nancy Pelosi is going to refuse to allow this bill to go through, then the American people at least deserve to know where their representatives stand on that issue. As we mentioned at the top of the show, Chick-fil-A has once again been prohibited from opening a restaurant, this time in San Antonio. The San Antonio City Council last week voted to block Chick-fil-A from opening a restaurant in the San Antonio airport. Why, you might ask, would a city government in the United States ban a chicken restaurant from opening? Is it because the restaurant has a history of failing to meet sanitary conditions or serving unsafe food? Or perhaps the city council are all vegans, or maybe they just hate chicken. Unfortunately, as it turns out, it's not the chicken they have a problem with, it's Christians. The San Antonio City Council is prohibiting Chick-fil-A from opening a restaurant at their airport because of the restaurant's, quote, anti-LGBTQ behavior. Now, what is this anti-LGBTQ behavior? Apparently, it is the chicken restaurant's charitable contributions to the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That's why the city council in San Antonio is refusing to allow Chick-fil-A to open a new restaurant, because they made charitable contributions to the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. What a loving and tolerant decision from the San Antonio City Council for refusing to allow a restaurant to conduct business and sell chicken to anyone who wants it, because the restaurant contributed money to Christian organizations. And rightfully so, this is now sparking an investigation by the Attorney General of Texas. Attorney General Ken Paxton has now announced that he will be investigating the actions of the San Antonio City Council. In a letter to the San Antonio City Council, Attorney General Paxton wrote, quote, "The Constitution's protection of religious liberty is somehow even better than Chick-fil-A's chicken. Unfortunately, I have serious concerns that both are under assault at the San Antonio airport. The city of San Antonio's decision to exclude a respected vendor based on the religious beliefs associated with that company and its owners is the opposite of tolerance. The city's discriminatory decision is not only out of step with Texas values, but inconsistent with the Constitution and Texas law." Or, to put it more bluntly, as Texas Senator Ted Cruz did in a post on Twitter, quote, "The details of the story are even worse. San Antonio City Council voted to ban Chick-fil-A from the airport because the company gave to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army. That's ridiculous and not Texas. Hashtag leftist intolerance." And so with that, we close the show by saying, I love Chick-fil-A. And I love religious freedom. And that is all the time we have for this week. And once again, this is our last week broadcasting on KOTK The Answer. But we will be very soon moving over to new platforms and new stations to keep listeners connected to what's happening at our nation's and state's capital. Until next time, I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.